This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word GRACE. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to get to. We spent the first hour talking a little bit about what people are doing in their daily lives to kind of give the bird to all of the jerks who are in power. And some of them aren't even elected. I mean, Dr. Fauci never won an election. He's made himself king of the COVID. And we've all kind of gone along with it. It's pretty wild. But there are a few other stories out there. There's actually a lot of stories out there right now that I find very interesting. And I was talking to Jared about this today. There's all this talk about normalcy and how Biden was ushering in normalcy and things were going to go back to how they were. You know, that's why all the suburban white women wanted to vote for Joe Biden so they could talk about, you know, at the country club. I just hope that things go back to normal now. You know, these last couple of years have been so crazy. Well, things are getting back to the Obama version of normal. That is to say, everything is a mess. And I wanted to talk about this first story out of Real Clear Politics. Governors complain that Biden and the vice president skip weekly COVID calls. Now, this article quotes a lot from New Hampshire's Chris Sununu, and it's pretty unreal because remember these calls? I remember when Trump would be on them. And, you know, I think they said Trump took 8 of the calls. His White House had about 40 COVID conference calls, but usually Pence was on every single one or most of them. It says Pence led 39 of them. Trump participated in 8. President Biden hasn't been on any of them, the Nebraska governor told Real Clear Politics. And Vice President Harris has only been on 1, but that was for about 5 minutes and she didn't take any questions. Yeah, that would have been her answer. So, you know, if anyone was, you know what, you could ask any question you wanted and this would have been your answer. So there you go. But I'm reading this and a paragraph jumps out at me. First of all, I'm not surprised that Joe Biden's not taking these calls with the governors. He has bigger fish to fry. You know, he has, what does he have to do? He has dog tails to pull. He has places to go, like the basement.
He's almost to that first mushroom in Mario Kart.
He's got Mario Kart to play. He's gonna have a high score at Mario Kart.
There's a day I'm getting there. No joke. I mean it.
Come on, man. I'm really busy. So I'm not surprised he's not taking the calls. I'm also not surprised that Vice President Harris is not on the calls because, you know, avoiding going to the border is a full-time job. And finding the root causes of the immigration crisis in this country is also a full-time job. And, you know, looking at a mirror and saying, oh, I am the root cause of these problems probably takes up a lot of her time. But this is the part of the story that kind of jumped out at me. Andrew Cuomo now leads the calls as chairman of the National Governors Association. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki explained that the New York governor was put in charge instead of the vice president because a change was needed. Andrew Cuomo was put in charge instead of Kamala Harris because a change was needed. One of the reasons Psaki told reporters in March is that there were operational aspects of the way the last administration approached COVID and approached the distribution of vaccines or approached planning and engagement with governors that wasn't working. So now Biden doesn't go near these calls. Harris doesn't go near these calls. But rest assured, we have Andrew Cuomo, the hands-on governor. He is taking these calls. He's leading the charge. That probably will make you feel better. And speaking of blaming Trump, you notice that. It's all about the last administration. The last administration had a lot of issues. And I wanted to do a little bit, Jared, if you don't mind. It's time for a little bit of journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get? News.
An article published by the New Republic last week has linked the plummeting popularity of professional sports to comments made by both Tucker Carlson and former President Donald Trump. Titled, Republicans Have Ruined Sports for Republicans, they surmise that comments made by right-leaning media outlets and commentators calling these leagues too woke, too liberal, or too tied to the Democratic Party have led Republicans to protest watching. Right. It's Tucker Carlson's fault and it's Trump's fault that people don't want to watch Major League Baseball.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Physicians, heal thyself. You guys gotta look. You gotta look inward a little bit sometimes. You know what the amazing thing about the Major League Baseball All-Star situation is? They pull the All-Star game out of Atlanta because Jim Crow, racism, you know the drill. I don't need to go into the voting laws. You guys understand that asking people to show ID is racist. And not being able to hand out snacks and drinks galore in election lines is also racist. We've all got that, right? Okay, good.
Racism, racism.
So they pull the game out and they move it to Colorado. Now, you don't have to be an expert in either places to know that Atlanta's mostly black people and Colorado's mostly white people. So all of this, all of these black people in Atlanta are now kind of upset because they've lost probably $100 million in revenue that they could have really used. And Stacey Abrams is now trying to convince people to come back to Atlanta and actually, you know, invest in Atlanta. And Joe Biden's going to Atlanta, I believe, to do some sort of climate change speech where a bunch of cars will be running in the parking lot while he talks about how the earth is going to explode and we're all going to die.
Manufacturing.
And manufacturing, of course. And I just, it's crazy to me that now they're trying to get themselves out of this mess that they did not need to be in. All of Joe Biden's errors are unforced. He makes them all on his own. And speaking of Joe Biden, his vice president, Kamala Harris, is not much better. Kamala Harris's book included in migrant children's welcome packs. I didn't know that they got welcome packs. But the VP's book was reportedly spotted in the bags of supplies given to migrant children being housed at the Long Beach Convention and Entertainment Center. Superheroes are everywhere, was published in 2019.
Freedom!
What about American Crisis? What about Andrew Cuomo's book? Why isn't that in the welcome bags? Come on, man. It takes readers through Harris's life and shows them that the power to make the world a better place is inside of all of us. While the messages may be uplifting and helpful for migrant children who have likely gone through a harrowing journey to enter the country, questions are being raised about who is paying for the book. According to Fox News, Health and Human Services could not be reached for comment.
I can't wait for the section where the superhero calls his boss a racist and says that the superhero believes their boss sexually assaulted people and then goes to work for him anyway.
Oh, Jared, don't give away the whole book. By the way, this is breaking news here. Oscars ratings are in. Oh, I can't believe this. This is crazy. I never saw this coming. The ratings have tanked massively. The 93rd Academy Awards ceremony tanked to unimaginable lows. The 2020 Oscars fell more than 50% year over year in overnight ratings. My day is made, everybody. My day is made. You know what I think it was, Jared, that really brought them down? Howie Carr didn't watch this year. And he didn't have a watch gather party. And, you know, he's part of their big audience.
Life in the time of COVID.
It's so, so true. Guys, when we get back, I'm going to take some of your calls here. We have more to talk about. And I want to play this sound from Representative Jewel Jones. He got arrested for drunk driving, and he's, you know, it's one thing to pull a "Do you know who I am?" But it's another thing to name drop. Like, if you're not even someone that important, and then you start name dropping other people. And the beautiful thing about today is that we have cameras, so we have all this footage. And the person he decides to name drop is Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The story, it's really, it couldn't get any more liberal if you tried. It's really, it just really hits all the points of a Democrat in the news story. It's true what they say, a perfect smile's change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Many people walk around not smiling because they aren't happy with their teeth. You'll see people do this. They smile with their mouths closed, or they try to cover their mouths with their hand. It's not a nice way to live. You want to be proud of your smile. You want to go around beaming. You want to rip your mask off, and you want to show some beautiful teeth. It really is amazing to watch the testimonial videos at perfectsmiles.com. You will see some incredible transformations, including Howie's is on there. Dr. Houghton really is an artist. He's also very, very nice. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire, where parking is free and the staff is warm and welcoming. Have you been wanting to upgrade your look for years? This is your sign. If you're hearing my voice right now, don't wait any longer. Change your life today. Contact them and look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be back with this audio of the drunk driving arrest. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I was talking earlier about how when I go on social media and I have friends who are at weddings or, you know, at parties, my heart just feels like the Grinch, where it's just growing in size because I'm so happy to see people getting back to normal. And it's weird because that's my reaction. And then there's other people's reaction who immediately go into the mask shaming, like, where's their mask, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just think that's really telling. That says something very, very strange about you if your response to seeing people finally enjoying themselves is to get angry at them. But I have to say, there's one other thing today that is making my heart sing. And that would be the Oscars ratings, because it is staggering. And I know people are going to say, well, you know, there wasn't a lot of movies this year because of the pandemic, and, you know, people are cutting the cord and whatever. I don't care. I really don't care what the reason is. I just love the number. Okay, 50% of people. 50% drop in ratings. Please clap. And it's crazy to think that people getting up and talking about how much they, you know, how racist America is and how much they hate Neanderthal thinking. It's crazy to think that wouldn't pull in the ratings. I'm hearing people talk about politics while they wear, you know, $5,000 dresses and accept golden statues. I'm shocked that the American people didn't want to watch that. John from the South Shore. Go ahead, John.
That's great, Grace, that you brought that up. That's not why I called, but I love that you poke your finger in the eye of those absolute charlatan and jerks. But I just wanted to say, in my life, and I'm sure that you feel the same way, I mean, I could run this country today better than any Democrat, AOC, Biden, Harris, John Kerry, any of them, take your pick. Me and my brothers could run this country, including geopolitics and foreign policy, better than any Democrat. And, you know, we're smart. We're smarter than them, but we're not geniuses. But we could run the country better than them. And what gets under my skin the most, I'll let you go, Grace, is they're so stupid, and they're making decisions for me. They're not smarter than me. And they're making all these stupid decisions and affecting my life, whether it's the gas prices or the filth of the open borders. And they're a bunch of stupid people that are only in the positions because of gender, or because race, or because they have money, or because they're criminals like Biden, or they have influence. They're not in positions because they're smart or they earned it. And That's just the thing that bothers me.
Yeah, and John, I so appreciate the call, and I agree with you. I think a big part of it, too, that drives people nuts, like you said, is that they are making decisions for us, and we don't need them to. All we need these politicians and these leaders to do is leave us alone. Leave us alone. John says, oh, him and his brothers could run the country better than these people. I have no doubt. Because these people aren't just not helpful, but they're actively destructive. They go out of their way. You know, Biden could have had a really easy first 100 days if he just kind of coasted off of what Trump did. I mean, they had the vaccine. I know he said to Anderson Cooper that they didn't have the vaccine when he came into office, but I'm going to chalk that up as a stutter talk because I know he has a speech impediment and that's the excuse for all of his mistakes. So people say, oh, you know, Biden's approval ratings are low. Well, of course, all he had to do was get in there and not mess everything up. And instead, he went the exact opposite. You know how I know that? You know how I know he went the exact opposite? Because AOC is, she said he's exceeding all of her expectations. Let's play that. Cut four.
And President Biden has definitely exceeded expectations that progressives had. You know, I'll be frank. I think a lot of us expected a much more conservative administration. But the active invitation and willingness and collaboration with progressives in his first 100 days has been very impressive.
That's one word to, you know, that's not the worst word to describe it. It's impressively horrifying. And the border is a great example because he really managed to make that into a crisis. I know Politico doesn't want me to use that word, but that's exactly what it is. And it's because he had to reverse everything. He had to make such a big show about doing all of these things, signing all of these orders, reversing all of these Trump policies. He's created problems for himself everywhere he goes. Diane, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Diane.
Hi. Hi, Grace.
Hi.
I just want to talk about the mask mandate. I live in New Hampshire, and we supposedly dropped the mask mandate. But everybody's still wearing them. In my town, I see people wearing them, even walking along on the sidewalk. It's really pathetic. I would just like to recommend to people if they call their local stores and say that they would like to see the mask mandate ended there and that people could go in the stores without wearing masks because they don't do any good, really. I went into a store today. I forgot my mask, actually. And I went into two stores today. I had a Kleenex in my pocketbook. I put it over my mouth and my nose with my one hand. And I walked through two different stores and nobody said anything. You know, I mean, that's how ridiculous it is. You know, it doesn't do any good.
Yeah.
So people, please complain about it. Otherwise, we're going to be wearing masks forever.
But Diane, this is something I want to tell you because I was thinking about this over the weekend. There is a little bit of a silver lining, or I wouldn't even call it a silver lining. There's a group that I don't want you to discount. And that is the 20-somethings, the young 20-somethings, because even the young 20-somethings who are liberal, who post, you know, the Black Lives Matter posts and who voted for Joe Biden, they all have something in common. And Jared knows what it is. When you're 22, 23 years old, I don't care how woke you are. You know what outweighs your wokeness? Your desire to go out, meet people. Meet guys if you're a girl, meet girls if you're a guy, and drink. And I'm seeing that all over my Instagram. I'm like, oh, all these people who are, you know, they had no problem during the winter, during lockdown posting, this is what you should do, these are the guidelines. But now that the summer's out, and now that they can put their short shorts on and go out in the cape and go out to bars, they're not going for it anymore. I hate to tell people that. It makes me so happy. Good. Live your lives. That's what it's supposed to be. All right, we'll be back on the other side with Libby Emmons from the Post Millennial. Don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
When you look at Joe Biden, the impression you get from the media is that he's this unifier, this respected individual, this moral force and the like. But when you actually look at his policies, he's been so much more divisive than I think anyone really could have expected.
Yes, I would agree. That was Ben Domenech from Fox News talking about how Biden isn't unifying people like we thought. I never thought he would, but some people thought he would. And the polls are out. His approval rating is out. And I'm not a big believer in polls, but they do not look good for Joe Biden. And if they're this bad, you can only imagine how bad they actually are, because we are getting the sugar-coated version from our mainstream media, who, of course, you know, our press is a huge arm of the Biden administration, so they have to be very careful about the numbers. Now, here to discuss this, along with other stories with me, is Libby Emmons from the Postmillennial. She also writes for The Federalist. She's one of my favorite guests to have on the show. Libby, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure thing. Thanks.
Libby, let's talk about these approval ratings. You wrote a piece about this, and you mention that it has tanked, his approval rating has tanked, but are you surprised at all?
No. I never had much confidence in the ability of this president to bring people together, primarily because nothing that he said at any point was designed to bring the partisan factions of our country together. So seeing these approval ratings decline is... It's not surprising, and it's also not surprising that Democrats are primarily approving of his performance, and conservatives are looking at it and just saying that he's doing a terrible job, which I think he obviously is.
But let's talk about some specific parts of his performance that people are not liking. You kind of go through a lot of them, including the border. But what do you think is the biggest part where both sides kind of feel like, wow, this guy is not doing what we thought he was going to do?
I think everybody's pretty upset about the border. It was 53% total disapprove of that, including 64% of Democrats who were polled. Was it 64%? Wait, let me just take a quick look. I had it a second ago. Let's see.
Yes, it says what Americans most like.
Yeah, 64% of Democrats approve of what's going on at the border, which is a shockingly low number when you consider that 92% of Democrats approve of the pandemic, 87% approve of the handling of the pandemic, 87% approve of the handling of the economy, and only 64% approve of the handling of the border. So it's actually a rather low number, and among conservatives, it's 10%. Approval of the border situation. I think that's a pretty big area as well. And there was another thing too, which was that 2-1 Americans say that Biden should be willing to change his proposal to win conservative support instead of doing this steamroller thing where they just push through their agenda without any sort of Republican support. So I thought that was actually really interesting, that the people, the American people who are, you know, smart and aware and care about their country can see what's going on and can see that this president is just running roughshod over, half the populace. And it's not pretty. And it doesn't matter if you think you're right. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you think you have like this moral perspective, this moral agenda, and that your values are the correct ones. That doesn't mean that you can, you know, just completely steamroll half of the population. And I think what's interesting, too, is liberals used to know this, right? Of course, liberals used to know this. When we had Newt Gingrich and we had the new Christian right in the 90s, and they were able to push through, I think, a fair bit of stuff without presidential approval, leftists knew that, like, just because you think you're right isn't a good enough reason to dictate how the country is going to be run. I think the president would be wise to take note of that.
And something, Libby, you just mentioned is that he's running roughshod over Congress and he's just kind of steamrolling his fellow politicians. And I noticed his little trick with that is that he'll say, and I crack up every time he says it, he says, I have Republican voters on my side, as if the Republican voters don't agree with, you know, what their representatives are doing. And I just keep thinking to myself, who are these, you know, regular people in America who are Republican, who are agreeing with Joe Biden? And the only people I can think of is someone like Jennifer Rubin. But besides that, I don't know any conservatives who are sitting at home and going, well, I know Congress doesn't agree with him, but I actually do.
I'm not seeing that either. And I spend a fair bit of time with conservatives, mostly media conservatives, but, you know, also some in my family. And I'm not seeing any kind of indication that he's doing a good job. And I think that part of that, too, is that he's not upholding any traditional conservative values at all. I don't even think he's upholding any liberal values. I think he's trying to operate by executive fiat, right down to this whole thing about the Supreme Court talking about having formed this commission to study expanding the Supreme Court after decades of saying that Supreme Court expansion was a terrible idea. And it's only being done as a means to consolidate power. They've got the Congress, they've got the executive office, and now they want the court. And it's just a, you know, it's like a corporate monopolization of leftism at the executive level. And it would be hard to overturn that. It would be hard to, what would the next Republican president do? Just expand the court more?
Right.
How many people are we going to have up there?
And exactly. It's kind of never ending. I saw people saying, why just add four? Why not add 400? What's the difference? Libby,
yes, what is the difference?
Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I know that these were written by Katie Daviscourt from the Postmillennial, mm-hmm. but you are one of the editors there, so I know you have a good take on it. Let's talk about the Academy Awards. I'm not going to ask you what actually happened at them because based off the ratings, it wouldn't seem like anyone really cares. But what I want to talk a little
Nobody
bit about...
cares. I watched the whole thing, actually, that all of that Oscar coverage. That was Katie Daviscourt, Ari Hoffman, and I just going through everything and being like, write this, let's cover this.
You watched all 3 hours?
Together. Oh, my goodness. I was actually in Milwaukee for a Better Discourse event with Mythicist, which is this really cool conservative. Well, I guess they're not really conservative, but they're a culture group, and they're sort of like pushing new ideas and interesting speakers. So I was there, and I actually ordered Thai food and posted up in my hotel room and watched all 3 hours of
oh
the Oscars.
Oh, my gosh. Well, before I ask you about that, which sounds treacherous, and I give you major kudos for sitting through it, I do want to ask a little bit about the preparation for the Oscars, because you guys at the Postmillennial were doing a lot of reporting on this. I'm speaking with Libby Emmons. And let's talk first. I don't know which one makes me scratch my head more. Let's talk first about the homeless issue. So where this was in L.A., there was a lot of homeless people. And let people know what Los Angeles decided to do about that before the Oscars came to town.
Yeah, so there were two venues where the Oscars were this year, and they kind of bounced back and forth between the two. One of them was Union Station, which is typically used as a... like it's often been used as a set for films, but also it had a large homeless population camped out around it. And the city, much like cities do in the lead up to big events, they moved all of the homeless people out of the area so that it wouldn't look so bad. But what makes that specifically disturbing, and it happens in New York, it happens in, you know, New Orleans, it happens all over the place. But what makes that specifically disturbing is that then you had this massively activist overtone to the artists and entertainers that were presenting and accepting awards. So they go up there and they're talking all about social justice without making any acknowledgement that the city cleared a bunch of people without places to live out of the area to benefit the opulence of these celebrities discussing social justice.
Yeah, and you in this piece by Katie Daviscourt, she quotes one of the homeless residents, and he says, they came to us about a week ago saying that we had to move by Friday at 6 p.m. because they were trying to clean up for the Oscars, and they told us that if we didn't move, they were going to just demolish our stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Really kind of cruel. And then on top of that, Libby, let's talk about the walls, because I always thought that liberals were not fans of walls. But let my audience know that things have changed.
Yeah, Katie pointed that out as well. And I thought that was a brilliant perspective that she had. So you have everyone saying no border walls, but policed walls around the venue where I'm going to be in my Louis Vuitton couture gown. That's okay. That's perfectly acceptable. So, yeah, they erected a lot of fencing around the red carpet, keep all the riffraff out, make sure that everybody got to, you know, go into the Oscars in style so that they could tell us how garbage our country is and how police suck. So, yay. You know, yeah. Well done, everybody. The other thing, too, that a lot of people noticed on social media, I think we had a piece on this, too. There was a lot going on last night. But another thing that happened, too, was they, with the COVID restrictions, everybody was vaccinated. Everybody was tested. Everyone had their temperatures taken. Everyone was supposed to put their masks on and all of this stuff when they weren't shooting. I believe it was Viola Davis who compared the presentation to a film set, saying, you know, we put the masks on between takes, which is very similar to Gavin Newsom's put the mask on between bites. Remember
right.
that one?
Right.
Brilliant. So, so they did that. But, like, there really was something so, you know, the word outrageous is overused, but I think it's overused for a reason these days. There was something so outrageous about wealthy celebrities trotting around an area where the homelessness had been cleared out for their benefit, wearing beautiful clothes, which I always love the clothes at the Oscars. That's
Me too.
The thing that I mostly like to tune in for. But wearing these beautiful outfits, accepting awards, giving each other awards. Glenn Close got up and did the butt, I believe.
Yeah, I saw that.
In like a moment that was the most cringe moment I think I have ever seen in my life, other than this kid singing a love song to Fauci this morning, which happened across my feed. but yeah, so here they are, and the contrast was amazing. Opulence, wealth, telling us our country sucks, while being elevated by it, by our nation, being protected by it. And then giving each other awards for films that no one had seen. I looked at the list of films, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen these. I went to look for, I saw Marvel films and stuff like that. You know, I saw WandaVision. But I went to look for where these films had premiered, which I thought was interesting. They had primarily premiered online on different streaming services. So to watch these films, you would have had to sign up for HBO Max, Hulu, Amazon Prime, you know, rented stuff from iTunes, signed up for Netflix. There was one film, I want to say it was Minari, I don't know if it was, but that ended up on its very own private streaming service because they didn't have distribution or something like that. All of these films in past years, each one of these would have been independent films. A bunch of them premiered at Sundance. There were no big blockbusters, really. And the other thing, too, that the Oscars did in preparation for the awards this year was back in September, they changed the guidelines for the nominations for films. And these requirements are basically diversity quotas
right.
to ensure that, you know, Black American, well, basically, the idea was to ensure that Black American artists got their due. And as we know, like, Black culture is a hugely beneficial, you know, it's like this major cultural movement in the United States, and it's actually, you know, pretty amazing. But even with all of these diversity quotas, the two major Black films of the night, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which is, of course, from a famous play, and the story about Fred Hampton, Judas and the Black Messiah, that premiered on Netflix, neither of these got the big awards. So on the one hand, I thought the diversity quotas were garbage and that films should be elevated on their artistic merits. On the other hand, they didn't even work.
Right. Exactly.
So what's that about?
And
that's weird.
Libby, I just want to say, and we do have to run here. This is Libby Emmons from the Postmillennial. Everybody should check her out on Twitter. I actually have her Twitter right here, at Libby Emmons, E-M-M-O-N-S. As far as the Oscars go, I'm like you. I love the dresses. I used to love watching them, the award shows. But there really does seem to be, and people will blame the pandemic for the ratings, but I almost think the pandemic made people aware of just how stupid and out of touch and unnecessary these celebrities are. So they're going to say, oh, well, it's because there wasn't as many movies and people, you know, it's the pandemic. And really, it's like, no, people just are actually, we've said for decades that, oh, we don't care what these celebrities think. Oh, don't get up and lecture us. But this seems like the first, maybe the second year where people said, no, I really don't care. Like, I don't care so much that I'm not going to go near it. Exactly.
Yes, the ratings were substantially down from last year as well. And yeah, nobody's seen the films. And the films, each one of these films was so much more about it being an important film. You know, this is an important film, as opposed to like, hey, this is going to be a great film to watch. I cannot wait to have the experience of seeing this movie.
Yeah, I actually want to watch it.
Is that experience. I want to watch it because I'm going to have a great time watching this film.
Exactly. Libby Emmons, thank you so much for joining the show. We'll have you on again soon. Once again, guys, that's Libby Emmons from The Post Millennial. The Biden administration's policies and executive orders are already causing some economic disturbance. You heard Libby talking about that a little earlier. Tax laws are going to change. Your tax burden on selling real estate will grow. I hear people talk about this almost once a week. Someone has some sort of property that they're wondering, should I try to get out now? Should I try to sell it? Well, don't get caught flat-footed and squander the equity in your real estate built up over years or even decades. Sell today with J.J. Manning. For over 40 years, J.J. Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. There's a big reason why Mass Lawyers Weekly voted J.J. Manning number one for four consecutive years in a row, because they still have a huge following of bidders who pay cash. When you sell with the broker, you pay the commission, but in an auction, the buyer pays. These are treacherous times in the real estate market. Some sectors are at all-time highs. Others are losing ground. Don't wait until Joe Biden destroys this sector of the economy, too, before you cash out. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you could be the next one. Call them today at 1-800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. This is Grace. This is The Grace Curley Show. We'll be right back.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley.
This hour of The Grace Curley Show is brought to you by the Howie Carr VIP Studio Experience. Tickets are available now with experiences beginning in May. To order, go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the VIP tab.
Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
You'll
chips.
Get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Nauset Disposal. Affordable rubbish and recycling from Duxbury to Provincetown. Go to NausetDisposal.com. That's NausetDisposal.com. Jared, I know you're about to read the poll question, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I think we should also do the poll question in the last segment with Howie, because I don't think he'll be able to answer this. It's too tough.
This is a very hard decision to make.
It's a doozy.
What do you think will happen first? Kamala visits the border, Biden has another press conference, or Charlie Baker lifts the mask mandates?
I think the first thing that's going to happen is, once again, I'm going to stick with what I said the first time. I'm going to vote aspirationally and say Charlie Baker will lift the mask mandate.
60% now say Biden we'll have another press conference. 25% say Charlie Baker will lift the mask mandate, and a scant 15% say Kamala will visit the border.
You know what I think the key is, just to switch gears here? For years, I've been trying to get Howie, when I go on his show, to talk to me about the Oscars. I'll say, can I do an Oscars recap? Can I do an award show recap? The key is not to play any of the sound, but just to enjoy how bad the ratings are and talk about that. Guys, we'll be back on the other side, and we will be playing the Jewel Jones sound that you need to hear. Do not go anywhere. This stuff is crazy, and it's The Grace Curley Show.